I wish Jermaine Dupri had told us he was going to be part of the Falcons, you know, schedule launch video. We didn't know that he's in there. They're going over the video of the Welcome to Atlanta. Sam Crenshaw and Jermaine Dupri is basically breaking it down with Matt in the control room. That was funny.
Yeah, I'm literally tweeting right now. Yeah, JD did a good job keeping this one in the bag yesterday.
Yeah, because we talked to Jermaine Dupri for like about 10 minutes before we actually did the interview, and because he got in before as Andy and Randy were wrapping up, and I'm like, well, where's you sandbagging son of a gun? I would have talked about that in our conversation amongst other things, but great interview. It's online at Odyssey.com. Hey, man, right now it's time to talk some NFL. It's time for 4th and 1. Hey, man, 4th and 1 brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Guys at the bar going, what the hell is this? It's a sports talk show. How you doing? Here in Atlanta. What's going on, man? Number one show in afternoon drive. You look it up. That's us. Thank you, sir. And come on. So, welcome to the party, pal. Abe has got a theory, man. And I'm going to let Abe have the floor. The way the schedule plays out, real quick, for those who didn't hear the schedule release, by now we've all seen it. Week 1, Pittsburgh. Week 2, Carolina. Week 3, that's Thursday Night Football at Green Bay on Amazon Prime. And then we have that extended break to Monday Night Football at New Orleans. You have a theory on how this may play perfectly for the Falcons quarterback situation. What you got?
Yeah, I think there's the possibility that we do not have Michael Penix healthy enough for the start of the year. And look, it may be that he's good to go, and it may be a legitimate competition, and in that case, we'll see what happens. But if it's unable to be a legitimate competition because his health is preventing it,
right?
And you are, again, I'm not expecting Tua to beat him out, but if Tua is, quote, forced to start the season because of health of Mike Penix, you have a perfect opportunity early in the season, if it's not going well for Tua, to make the quarterback change necessary. And that is after week 3 at Green Bay, Thursday night football, heading into the, it's really almost a full bye because it's right. Monday night, but the mini bye before week 4. That's a game at the Saints on Monday night right. football. But if Penix is close and can't quite go, if you want to start Tua and then plan to make a change after week 3, it's a perfect opportunity to do so. And it's, look, you might sit here and say that, well, we don't want to start Penix on the road Monday night football.
He's already started.
At the Saints.
He's already started in the NFL. He's already been there and done that. We threw him to the Wolves. It was a Monday night game, the Sunday night game in Washington as a true rookie. So he'll be fine.
We're past kid gloves.
Yeah, he'll be
Mike.
Fine.
We got to find out what he's got.
I'm with you.
And so, again, this is not about if this is a quarterback competition and he wins or loses. This is a situation, and this is just me personally. I don't believe they're going to be able to hold a proper quarterback competition. I don't think his health is going to be ready. I know I've seen the dancing videos. I saw him throwing. I understand that. I don't think he's going to be good enough to go.
Well, this is what we debate with the audience all the time. We have Falcon fans who say you're hating on Michael Penix Jr. simply by stating the facts you just said. If he cannot go, he's not 100%, you cannot have a true quarterback competition. So Tua would win by default, and you just laid it out.
Now, I took you 3 weeks
right, but
now
if Tua
to get
lays
100%.
If Tua lays an egg, which he just married, because remember, for all Michael Penix being under center, Tua didn't play under center with the Dolphins. Everything was shotgun.
Right.
So you're going to have to ask him to do something that's outside of his comfort level. So I'm with you. I like the way this lays out. And again, that's not hating on Penix. That's simply stating a fact. He may not be ready. So this gives you a chance, because we said you can't have a competition during the regular
season. And a quarterback change also cannot wait until week 11 in the bye week. It's way too late
season's
in the season.
Season's long gone.
Yeah.
Okay, so then how are you handling this then if Tua is actually playing well? Are you still making that switch?
Hold on. Aha! Aha!
I don't care. The discussion that you're having is not about playing well. It's about winning.
Well, it is, though.
No, it's about winning.
So what if he's playing well and
you're
winning?
Yeah.
So if you're winning, are you making the switch?
No. But that doesn't change how.
But it's not a fair. But if it's so, if it's not a fair quarterback competition because of his injury, right? And I'm not. I'm just saying you don't.
I'm not here for fair. I'm here for making the playoffs.
All right. So if you're winning,
Abe's not here
well,
for fair.
You don't
He's
make
here
the
to make the playoffs. Did you hear what the man just said?
You want me to
drop mic?
What are you 3-0 and you bench Tua?
That's what I'm saying.
Of course
saying.
You're not doing.
Okay,
it.
So you ride. You ride.
But
the hot hand.
I'm suggesting, and again, if he's so much better than Penix,
right.
then this will play out. This is, in my mind, a situation where he's handed the job by default, probably doesn't play great.
And just keeping us afloat.
For 3 weeks until the timeline is ready.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I think it, for me, I would head into the season with this being the plan. If you cannot hold a true quarterback competition, that, all right, we got 3 weeks extra. We'll just play Tua. If we need to address it at that time in terms of Tua's quality of play, we can do that. But this is a perfect timeline to actually get Penix into the starting role. You got, what is that, 11 days?
Right. No, no, the window. I get the math. The window makes sense. Day-Day raises a great point. What if they're winning with Tua? Tua's doing what he does. 1-2-3, and the ball's out. You know, he's throwing for 200, 220 yards. He's got a good completion percentage. Things are clicking. He's buying what Stefanski is selling. And this team, you know, we're getting Kyle Pitts involved. Bijan's doing Bijan stuff. We're going to run the football in a Stefanski offense. Hopefully, see, that's the thing. I don't know how much the play action plays because Tua, historically, the ball at 1-2-3, and the ball's out. You know, but I still think you can use the play action with the run game, and both our quarterbacks have not been comfortable under center historically. So that's where the competition is kind of fair, but it's not fair if one guy can't compete because of the knee injury, Penix, and that's where everyone starts throwing in. I saw him dancing at the wedding, to your point earlier.
Yeah.
Don't mean anything.
No, it doesn't. And look, again, I've been consistent with this part of it this whole time. If Tua wins the job because Penix is not ready and he plays well, you don't make a change. Right. And you want to have the discussion about, well, we need to find out what Penix is all about this year. Not if Tua is your answer.
Right.
Now, I don't necessarily believe that he is going to be your long-term answer, but if it's trending in that direction, I mean, you look at the schedule here, Mike. If you somehow find yourselves at 4-2
right,
after 6 weeks, considering the schedule you have, that's already probably two wins in the NFC South, the Panthers and the Saints included in that. You're not making a change.
Jesse hits me up on the text line. Mike, you said there can't be a competition. We're not talking about it. We're basically saying one guy fails. If Tua doesn't do the job, Abe just laid out a scenario, thanks to the schedule makers, where all of a sudden you can pull this off and make that transition. And again, this isn't Raheem Morris with a first-time or second-year offensive coordinator and Zach Robinson. These are adults. These are guys who've been in through, and believe me, they've been through enough quarterback changes in Cleveland to sink the Titanic. So they know how to handle this kind of situation.
Here's the question. What happens if Penix wins the starting job and looks awful through 3 weeks? Are we using this timeline to bring Tua in?
Well, see, here's where Tua then comes in as a very cheap option, but what are we trying to do here? Why is everybody we signed other than Jahan Dotson on a one-year deal? Why are we just kind of treading water? Why do we think maybe this organization doesn't believe in Penix Jr., the new front office, and the best quarterback for this team is in the draft? He'll be playing college football this fall. So if you go with Penix, give him a sample size. I'm not saying they're going to tank. They don't do that in the NFL. But I'm fine with letting Penix learn his way. You've got to define Penix's skill set and what he is for once and for all for this organization, and then move on. And this will be year three. It won't be a full three seasons, but you'll have 3 years of Penix, and you'll be able to make a judgment.
If Penix
and then he'll be your backup, and eventually you don't pick up his option if he fails.
I think you can
because you didn't draft him, so you're not owing
him anything. All that makes sense. I think you can exchange Tua for Penix after week three. I don't know if you could exchange Penix – I think you can put in Penix replacing Tua after week three.
Right.
I don't know if you could put Tua in replacing Penix that early. I think at that point is when you're looking towards the bye week.
Because you don't know Tua, because Tua, like I said, he might be here 1 year. He might – Tua Tagovailoa might be wearing 5 or 6 different baseball caps, and his career is going to be bouncing around the league.
Tua can be replaced almost immediately from poor play.
But don't tell Carl that.
We can do that.
Carl says T.
U.
Well, that's
A.
Like, that's if you're assuming poor play or not. But I don't think you can replace Penix as quickly.
I'm with you. No, I think they want to get an evaluation.
But you don't think that if he's not playing well, don't you think?
Who's he?
Michael Penix, don't you think waiting till the bye week in week 11 is a little too long, especially if you're on the cusp of potentially, trying to win your division?
I don't, only because I think that week 10, up to week 10, is an incredibly difficult part of your schedule. And I think as long as you're floating a little bit, like I think there's an outside shot that you could be like 3-7 through week 10 and still have some life. You've still got 3 games against the NFC South. You've got the Browns. You've got the Vikings, those winnable games. I think up to week 10 is a brutal stretch. If you're still kind of floating around a little bit, you make a quarterback change, play well, you could go on a run in the final 6 weeks of this season.
It's Abe Gordon, guys, in for Carl today with some interesting takes. I think a lot of folks agreeing with it. You know, this does set up well. But, again, how do we evaluate these quarterbacks? How do you have a competition if one guy just isn't prepared? And, again, it's not a shot at Michael Penix Jr. We just don't know. No one in the organization has given you any clarity in any interviews they've done, from Stefanski to Ian Cunningham to Matt Ryan. No one said, oh, he'll be good to go for the camp. You know, and I'd love to see Penix be able to compete in the preseason games, which was a disservice that was done by Stefanski and crew last year. By Raheem Morris and crew last year. I think, how does Stefanski handle the preseason, by the way? Tua going to be out there throwing? I mean, obviously, you just laid out the scenarios. Penix probably won't be ready.
I can't imagine, even if Penix is ready for a quarterback competition, I can't imagine you're putting him in a game.
But
right?
Is Tua going to play preseason?
You asking me or are you asking him? Yes.
Otherwise, it's what? Trevor Siemian and the kid from?
Jack Strand.
Minnesota Moorhead. Yeah.
Jack Strand. It probably depends on what Penix is physically.
Right. I'd like
you
to see
can't
that.
Risk
No, but I'd like
now.
To see the preseason not suck. I mean, the preseason does suck as it is.
We I would love to see
And eventually
it,
we're only going to have two games once we go to the 18-game season. But it would be nice. That's why I thought Raheem Morris did a disservice to himself by not having a true quarterback competition last year. Have Cousins and Penix battling in the preseason. He never puts the starters out there. Anyway, guys, it's the 3 o'clock hour. This is the 4th and 1 segment brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. We'll ask more about this with our guest coming up in about 10 minutes' time, less than that, and that is our buddy, DJ Shockley. Shock, of course, you see him on Fox 5, covers the Falcons. We'll get his take on Georgia, plus all the scenarios that Abe just played out about how this thing is going to roll with the Falcons and the quarterback situation. Also, guys, what do you make? You and I, again, haven't worked in a while. Catch up on some of the stuff that's gone down. The globalization. You know, it's the NFL's business model. You know, you're trying to, you know, get like, – it's never going to surpass soccer in Europe, but there is a passionate fan base that sells out stadiums, that buys a ton of gear. Every town in – or every major city in Europe has got sports bars that cover their favorite NFL teams just like you would here in Atlanta, New York, Chicago. So they got traction. It's not going anywhere. But now you get into, like, Australia.
Right.
I mean, did you see the story yesterday where the 49ers are going to travel more this year than the Cleveland Browns, or Cincinnati, I should say, traveled all of the last three seasons as far as air miles? It's crazy.
And part of that's coming here, right? And they've
East Coast,
some
West
East Coast,
Coast
schedules,
yeah.
Along with Mexico City and Australia. The question, and I understand the business aspect of it, I understand the on-site. And you've been to these games, and I'm sure Madrid's going to be an awesome experience as well. Does it ever stop becoming a novelty? Like, do they ever get tired of it?
No, if anything,
that's
again,
question.
You know Fricky's line, we're going to have a team based in Europe. I mean, well, I'm not sure that's viable, but you do see the NFL now where every team's going to have an international game every year. You know, that's where it's building up to.
So
Fricky, for those who missed Fricky's point a couple years ago, oh yeah, we're gonna have two teams based in Europe. It's coming. Like, well, who's that? We're not expanding to 34 teams.
Since I worked with him a lot more than you, he then proceeded to have a whole NFL division over there.
Okay,
so all four teams.
Well, again, I don't see us going to a 36-team league.
Wow.
I mean, that's news to me. Anyway, that's Abe in for Carl today. This show today, we'll talk with Grant McCall, and you can hear Grant on the weekend. He's the authority in baseball right here on the game. Sundays, you can catch Grant from the Diamond, a comprehensive look at the Braves and Major League Ball. It's brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home at markspain.com and by Window Nation. Visit windownation.com for your free consultation today. That's from the Diamond with Grant Sunday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Live from Twin Peaks in Buckhead, Abe in for Carl. Let's ask Shock. What does he think this schedule means? And does he buy what Abe is selling? About an easy way to maybe move from one quarterback to the other if things aren't going right for that first quarterback. Stay tuned.